Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and welcome to the Raw Preview. I'm Adam Wilborn from What Culture, joined by Ben Roy Turner of What Culture. Look ahead to tonight's episode of Monday Night Raw. But before we get into it, if you're a fan of this sort of thing, make sure you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling on either iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from for daily wrestling podcasts, where we not only review Raw, but also SmackDown, NXT, AEW Dynamite, AEW Rampage, pay-per-views. We have interviews, roundtable discussions, and a roundup of the week, complete with a bloody good quiz, of course, on Wrestle Culture. As I said, though, joined by Ben Roy Turner, the Dudley Boys, still recovering after All Out, to look ahead to Raw tonight. And, I mean, yeah, I'm often a bit grumpy when it comes to looking ahead to Raw, but this feels like a real come down, to be honest, Ben Roy.
I bet you can't wait to watch 3 hours of Monday Night Raw after what you just witnessed last night. Now, it's a weird start to the week, isn't it? Raw, how it kind of sort of persists and has persisted and kind of doesn't change, but also stays the same. And we look at this list of matches announced, and I don't even know if they're going to happen because they might just not happen.
Well, this is the thing I was about to say last week. Granted, it was a bank holiday here in the UK, so we recorded the Raw preview on Friday, but they had at least listed, I think, three matches at the time.
Yeah.
None of which happened on the subsequent Raw. Like, it doesn't really matter if we're recording this on the Friday before or today on the Monday of, because as we all know, they could just show up and Vince could decide, no, I don't fancy it tonight.
Yeah, it's The reports coming out of there and the ripping up of scripts and the overly manufactured to oblivion show that I see whenever I edit the ups and downs for the YouTube channels and everything else. Yeah, it's just, it kind of feels flat, whereas I can kind of bear SmackDown, but Raw just kind of doesn't go anywhere. And there's also, just feel like there's not enough people and we have the same matches every few weeks.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I'll say I enjoy SmackDown. I'm really looking forward to SmackDown this week. Obviously, they're going All Out because they're in Madison Square Garden, but it is like a sliding scale. It's like SmackDown, generally good, still, you know, the base WWE issues, but generally, I finish watching that, usually because the main event features Roman Reigns in one way or another. I usually end up watching that and going, well, that was good. NXT is fine. It's not fine, objectively, i.e. they're turning it into, well, you said CBeebies or bloody Nickelodeon or something. Yeah. But in terms of a viewing experience, it's fine. I never get really angry at it. I never get really upset about certain people. And then there's Monday Night Raw, who takes the NXT champion, not only beats him in his first match in like 20-odd seconds or whatever it was, but just look at him now.
Promotes him to a sex slave, right?
Yeah, I've asked this question for the last few weeks, and I've just given up. Like, I was going to say, like, oh, can they salvage Karrion Kross? Are they ruining? It's done. He's ruined. That's that. Look what they've done to my boy if you're Triple H.
You can see in his eyes, and you can see how just deflated he is. And also, it's just dumb, man. Like, anyone defending this, like, oh, it looks cool in some respect. No, it doesn't. You had a perfectly packaged wrestler from NXT, one of the most dominant forces to come out of that brand in a while. A Vince guy, you'd think, how big he was and how destructive he was. No, he turns him into, he puts a gimp suit on him and makes it, before that, makes him lose straight away and then takes away, like, one of the key parts of his whole package and just gone. And like, yeah. Why?
I think there could be an argument, and I did hear this argument being made. I think Cornette said it quite early on, that there is a case to be made where you bring him in,
and build him back up, yeah.
And then you build him back up, you give him the big entrance, you give him Scarlett back. Now that ship has set sail. That's it's game over already.
And that was him trying to pick into the brain of Vince. But like, yeah, Scarlett, even without Scarlett, he probably would have done like totally fine. But even in the entrances when the fire was all blowing out and she was like bellowing and screaming into like the camera and things like that, I just, it set the atmosphere and it made him even more sort of demonic and scary and powerful. And now he looks like he wants to cry every time he comes out and just beats people that shouldn't be squashed in like 5 seconds either.
No, exactly. Will he get fed Ricochet of the week? Oh, yeah. Yeah. Anyway, I don't want to talk about him anymore. I do want to talk about, though, whether or not you think it's nice to have someone who's not a daddly boy on here, about your thoughts, because I often ask this, but it feels particularly pertinent today, whether or not WWE will react to AEW. Now, I know they are a sports entertainment company and AEW are a wrestling company, and all the people who sit there and say, well, that's it now. WWE have lost. No, I hate to say this, but they really haven't. They've got billion-dollar TV deals. They've got money coming out of their sodding ears. They may not be, you know, objectively the better wrestling company, but that doesn't really matter to them. Having said that, AEW did just bring in two of their biggest stars, a guy who was headlining WrestleMania just a few months ago, you know, one of their biggest ever, best ever NXT superstars in history, and made a woman who they did precisely nothing with on the main roster feel like a huge deal on her first night. This isn't even getting into the whole Forbidden Door nonsense. But will there come a point where WWE will respond to AEW for you? And it is tonight that moment because of, you know, this amazing discussion online.
No, I don't think so. I don't think with Vince that. I think he's just too stubborn. It's like, no, this is going to be my way, and I'll just keep doing it my way because my way is always won. I think he's too far gone in that respect. Like, regardless of his age or anything, he's also way out of touch. Like, no one wants to see some big Karrion Kross in a gimp suit anymore. No one wants to see, like, people can be really nice about Nikki A.S.H. online, but no one wants to see that. Yeah, I won't defend that gimmick. I think that gimmick is terrible in a respect. Like, fair, she got the championship and everything like that, but like, she's almost a superhero. That's the gimmick. He's like, what? No, mate. And then like breaking up things, like going back a bit to the Hurt Business. Why did you just break them up and destroy poor Shelton Benjamin for no reason? Like, with no sort of like repercussions whatsoever. What have we got? Like Charlotte Flair losing clean to one of the worst people on the roster, Nia Jax. Like, I'm not being nice about some people. It's like, just, I don't know. Everyone works hard, right? They just put it behind them. But like, why did that happen when like Charlotte Flair might be the most dominant person on the roster by like Brock Lesnar or Roman Reigns, specifically in the women's division? But then look at all this other things that's going around the outside and like dripsticks and let's have a water gun fight. And like, I don't care if you say, not you, Adam Wilbon, because I care about what you say, but you say sports entertainment and wrestling, they're the same product. They're the same sort of like essential products that have gone in two wildly different directions. And there's a reason WWE are shedding some of its best talent, even ones that like, say, you would have thought would never leave, like a Bray Wyatt, where you love that demon clown and you just got rid of him. Why? It's just so confusing. And I think it's going to continue. Despite like, what, 3 years ago, there were like 3 million, 4 million viewers on Raw. Now it's like struggling to keep two at this point. I can't. And even the 24/7 championship, right? Like seeing Reggie walk around in the park, no one cares. And go back to what was that little group that T-Bar and Mace were in? What was that?
The Dragon!
Yeah, why? Why did that come in? And they all lost and they did nothing ever apart from turn the lights on. I could rant about this forever, but I don't think they're going to come back around until there's a proper shake-up and not Vince hiring people that will say yes to whatever he wants to do.
Yeah, I think the thing is, in terms of talking about, you know, WWE wanting to respond to AEW, I feel like there are a lot of people, especially the wrestlers, obviously, but I guarantee there are numerous people backstage who are like, boss, look, not just about the people that they've taken, although that I'll talk about in a second, but about the way they craft these wonderful winding stories. We've still got the culmination of, you know, Hangman Page and his relationship with the Dark Order and how that plays into Kenny Omega and, you know, MJF and the way that character has been presented. And, you know, the Young Bucks finally losing those tag titles to the Lucha Bros, for example. Got all that going on. But I think even if you did that, even if you sat there and said, look, boss, well, they've got this great idea. It's going to take us from now till, I don't know, Royal Rumble, for example. I was talking about this on the news today. If you had a great storyline, a wonderful winding story that features Becky Lynch and Bianca Belair and the returning Sasha Banks, at the end of the day, like we always say, doesn't matter if you have the Godfather on paper, right?
Yeah.
Because one week he'll turn around and go, I don't like that. Can we put him in a hat, a funny hat, so we can sell a new toy or things like that? I think the thing is, I think people are willing this to happen, and I still don't think it will for the time being. I think, you know, you can sit there and talk about demos and 18 to, you know, whatever it is, and all by the numbers they're catching or matching Raw or whatever. I still sit here on a Tuesday and look at the numbers that come in for Raw and go, how are they breaking 2 million? How are they still hitting, you know, 1.9 million people watching? I get it. I watch it as well. I contribute to this, not in terms of the numbers, but I, you know, I'm someone who tunes in and week out. But I've said this a million times. Wouldn't be doing it if it wasn't my job right now. No chance. I'd watch SmackDown. I might watch NXT on the weekend when I can actually be asked. And I would, yeah, appointment viewing, watch Dynamite and Rampage. I think that the issue is going to come is not necessarily because they, like I said, they are future-proofed. Sid often says this about how much money they have got. They are not going to be there going, oh, God, we need to change things up because the bottom line's changing. No, they will be fine. And the way wrestling is, you know, received by TV companies, they'll still be fine even if nothing changes for them in the next 2 years or whatever. Do you think the difference may come when they can't attract new talent? Because I know, you know, someone like a Ben Carter, and I don't want to throw Ben under the bus, but he is someone who got his start in AEW and then went to WWE, quite rightly. I probably had this mindset, you know, when I was a bit younger, because WWE was all he knew, was all he wanted to be a part of. Whereas now, if you're a wrestler growing up, do you look and go, look what they did with Ricochet, this sensational indie wrestler who they just brought in, jobbed out to Brock Lesnar and now make him do flippy stuff and occasionally give him a bit of a run with a mid-card title and then take it away from him, jobbing out to Karrion Kross in 2 minutes. You know, or do you want to go to a company that books someone like Darby Allin? You know, it's night and day, isn't it?
Like, it's just so, if you look at them and it is night and day and you can't go and compare them in any sort of like respective quality anymore. There's talent in WWE, but that talent is being hindered by the top down. And it's almost so depressing because I don't watch it anymore. I'll see clips and they're saying I'm a bit of a different sort of like era from the dads, whereas I started watching in like, say, well, like 97, like around just before the screw job sort of thing. And, I love the early 2000s into like the late and into the early 2010s. If it was really for me around, like say when Taker lost at Mania, spoilers, Faye, and from there it sort of like winded down. I was like, why am I watching this? And each year grinds away. It's like, well, nothing is really satisfying in this show. It goes forever, whereas AEW, there's always something happening. It's always exciting. What was the last exciting thing that happened on Monday Night Raw, apart from like, it was sad exciting? You're like, you were laughing at Karrion Kross for being a slave.
Yeah, it's like,
I mean, SmackDown, prefaces, but like everything they're doing with Roman Reigns on there is excellent. Like, even down to like Paul Heyman being scared to go out into a celebration and Roman, like, no, you're part of the family.
But they can do it.
Yeah. It's just only a few elite people with so much sway can sort of break out of the Vince sludge. And then and also employ who you want, like give people chances, but don't employ someone to write a wrestling show that's never watched wrestling. Like, don't employ someone to commentate on wrestling that's never watched wrestling. Like, you need to have, because it's wrestling, it's what's interesting. They're still doing all the wrestling with all these trappings around it that they've created them for themselves over the past 20 odd years. And it's just that it's like wanting to be saying they're not. It's like, we haven't had a billion more films out of them. Where's See No Evil 7? Like if you're not making films, you're making bad movies within a wrestling ring. And even to someone like Drew McIntyre, who is a recent success, you're like, wow, that was, and Bobby Lashley, you're like, wow, but you can feel the shine coming off Bobby Lashley, and the shine's off Drew McIntyre because he just loves his sword, and he had a little rivalry with Jinder Mahal over a motorbike, which they both admitted to not even caring about in the show. So it's all over the place.
Yeah, it's the thing where there's a conversation happening today, and I'm intrigued to see where this goes over the next few days, because you talked about like recency bias. I'd be fascinated to see how that develops over the next few days. People are saying, oh, you know, was All Out 2021 the best pay-per-view ever? The more I pause to think about it, I flip between two. I'll watch a bit of it again and go, yeah, it's the best pay-per-view ever. And then I think, there's still not some great points on it. And maybe I'm just being influenced by the ending to it, or maybe one of the best endings to a pay-per-view ever. Was it the best pay-per-view? Was it WrestleMania 17? You know, was it TakeOver New York, for example? I don't know. But the fact that conversation's happening, and like you say, as you were talking then, I was thinking, when was the last good episode of Monday Night Raw across the board? Because I enjoy stuff that happens with like Riddle and Orton right now. I think that's really good. And you get matches like the Triple Threat last week that they just hoy together. Drew McIntyre, Sheamus, Damian Priest, brilliant. Really enjoyable match that. But beginning to end, and I know you have Bad Dynamite. It was a Bad Dynamite like 2 weeks ago, and we were all like, where's this come from? They just hadn't booked anything.
Yeah, that was a disappointment. Like, what was going on? Like spinning their wheels.
Yeah, but you can pick out in the last month a really good kind of across the board Dynamite. Whereas I can't remember in the last 6 months, year, 2 years, where I've actively gone, that was a really good spending of my, I don't know, 2 hours and 20 minutes minus the ads of Monday Night Raw. It's just, it is, well, it's chalk and cheese, isn't it, to summarize?
Yeah. It's just, this is going to, sorry to everyone, if there's any diehards listening to Raw or people that have been watching it for so long, like we've been admitted to been watching this product for so long, but it just seems to the reason why people are watching it is because they're grandfathered in and they watch cable they watch television. They don't do like they're old. Like this is a product aimed at children, but it's old people watching it. Like it's the weirdest thing, and they keep watching it, and it's just out of habit or having it sort of on. Like, you know, people might have a basketball game on or a baseball game on and just like not pay attention and be on their phones or something like that. I would be, in this respect, doing a crossword. Do you do crosswords in America? Let us know, America, somehow, and with all the rest of the abuse. But I can't remember the last time a Raw was so goddamn exciting. And you can go back to like several AEWs. Look at Malakai Black, man. Like, I had no interest in him once he came to Raw. I can't even remember his WWE name now.
Aleister Black.
Aleister Black, that was it. And like, he was awesome in NXT. We saw him in New York.
Yeah.
And then comes to Raw, just pants, man. Just like, just doing nothing and sacrifice at the altar of Seth Rollins and the Rey Mysterio eyeball feud, which even when that finished, it was reversed. And Rey Mysterio had his eye back anyway. And like, he goes to AEW, he's had two matches. One of that was a questionable ending to the show, but anything else there? But his whole gimmick and aura has been restored within like weeks, and just how they can magically bring him back and then just waste every like. I don't even Andrade, he's someone who I haven't really cared for in both companies, but even he is a step up. Like, we've only sadly seen one match because there's so goddamn much talent in that show at the moment. Mm. We've only seen him in one match in AEW, and that was a good match. His promos are a bit here and there every now and then, but even him, who I'd say is probably the weakest hire they've had in a while, like from WWE, has almost smashed it. And then like someone like, we had a Big Show match on the pay-per-view, and like people didn't hate that either. Michael Sidgwick gave that an up in Ups and Downs. In his Ups and Downs, Michael Sidgwick gave Big Show, no BS Paul White, an up. Like, this is the correct timeline we are now living in.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Well, let's talk about tonight's episode of Monday Night Raw then, because, you know, maybe it'll be all right. There's three championship matches on tonight's show. There's a tag team turmoil match to determine the new number one contenders for the tag team champions. And there's a match that almost never fails to deliver. So who knows? Maybe. Fingers crossed. Let's talk about the three championship matches, though. And the one you alluded to earlier, Ben Roy, may devolve into a shoot fight again. It's Charlotte Nia Jax on the Raw Women's Championship. I am terrified because it felt like a couple of weeks ago, right, okay, we're getting Charlotte Flair versus spooky Alexa Bliss. And now Nia Jax has got this shoot fighter air about her. And like you said, she beat her clean last week.
Yeah, and Nia Jax beat clean the most dominating female force in WWE, the WWE has ever had. And she is just, I can't, she's terrible. She's, I can't, I don't know why she's, not only get people fired, why she's around in that such high of a spot. When let's say, like, I would put someone like Natalia, who's leagues above her. Remember, you're like, and there's not always that much love for Natalia on the internet, but I remember that a few decades where it felt like she was with Carly and they were just walking around and she was farting.
Yeah,
like, you get somebody who can wrestle, and then they put someone who has questionable wrestling abilities and drops people on their head and punches them in the wrong places a lot, and they put them in matches and put them in, make them go over the most dominant champion in female history, and then give them a championship match. I don't think this is the right way to go, and I don't know why they keep pushing Nia Jax like this. I'm trying to be nice. I'm trying to be controlled because, like, give people chances or whatever, but how many chances does someone need?
I think that's exactly right. Like, I mean, it makes sense that you kind of run it back and have the match because you've got to beat her last week. But, yeah, poor bloody Naomi over on SmackDown's like, can I get screen time? Can I get a match? I'm like, nah. You're only a former world champion. You're only really talented in between the ring, in between the ropes. And yet Nia Jax, like you say, history of being dangerous. Worked well when she was in a tag team. That sort of calmed things down a bit. But the fact that out of those two people, out of Shayna Baszler and Nia Jax, you go, Nia Jax deserves
that's even more insane. You picked out a great point there because their tag team was kind of fine. But Shayna Baszler, after, and she got lost to Becky Lynch, just destroyed and then gone, and then never recovered from that in any respect, in like her presence on the television products. Like, what's going on there?
Yeah, I just don't get it, and also I don't get this dynamic. Who am I cheering for? Charlotte Flair or Nia Jax? They're both heels. 100%, they're both heels. Nia Jax in the little video package is like, "Oh, I'm a destructive dominant force," and Charlotte Flair's like, "Oh, I'm the greatest champion we've ever had." Who should I? I mean, before we even get to spooky Alexa and her doll, like, who is the baby face in this? And like, who am I meant to be rooting for? But let's move. I assume you think Charlotte retains tonight.
If Charlotte doesn't retain, it's one of the biggest mistakes they've made all year, and they've made a lot of mistakes.
Yes, exactly. That's me talking. Think of the ground that covers. And the other championship match, proper championship match, I mean, is Natalya and Tamina defending those women's tag titles against Rhea Ripley and Nikki A.S.H., the Odd Couple tag team, yet again, Ben Roy.
Yeah, I mean, I've essentially been brought up on this as a dough mark for all my life, pretty much. But yeah, I mean, I laid into the fact that I didn't like the Nikki A.S.H. packaging, but I like Nikki A.S.H. A.S.H. Sorry, I just A.S.H. There you go. I'm going to say it once and go back to A.S.H. because it's just I don't care. I'm going to set everything on fire. Like them two together, Rhea Ripley and Nikki can do something, can work, and I wouldn't be against them having the belts. I love Tamina getting her finally getting her time to shine. Not even being that mean. She could be meaner. You never know.
Mm.
And I love that her and Natalya have got those belts and they've put them on. They've got someone that kind of feel like deserves it and feel like it works.
Mm.
And do you just give those belts away on free TV? I would maybe do this in a pay-per-view, or if Rhea and Nikki win, do then they have a rematch? Because we have to have rematches on WWE. We always have to have rematches. But yeah. I just feel like it's a weird time to have this match, and if it's too quickly thrown together, and when you've got someone like Nia Jax facing against Charlotte Flair, when someone like Rhea Ripley is there, what's going on?
Yeah, I think, like you say, out of the three matches with titles involved, I think you're going to get a clean... Look, that's clean. A finish. You're going to get a finish in the Flair-Jax match. I'd almost guarantee with, 3 weeks to go until Extreme Rules, they're going to have the match won, and then someone's going to get involved with a chair, and there you go, bish, bash, bosh, to Extreme Rules sort of thing, because
yeah,
that feels like the way to just set up and get another match on that bloody card. Although, it would be nice if... I don't want to heel turn Rhea Ripley, so it's hard, this, the way you spell it out. But Nikki A.S.H. gets pinned. She loses the match for them through one way or another, because who cares about this character? Certainly WWE doesn't. Rhea Ripley snaps, beats her up, cut to backstage, RK-Bro, Orton, Riddle going, God, imagine if someone turned on their tag team partner like that. Have a bit of self-awareness, something like that, perhaps. But one way or another, Natalya and Tamina retain those tag titles. I think you're right. I think they're going to Extreme Rules with this because, it's 3 weeks away. So let's do a match to build a match.
I feel like they might win eventually, because I feel like Vince loves the visual of A.S.H. in Rhea Ripley's arms. I think he's seen that one visual and he's going to fix out on that. And he's forgotten who Tamina is again. And then they're going to lose. I feel like that visual alone is something they're like, that's money, pal.
So... would that be, three-fifths of their tag champs would be Odd Couples?
Yeah.
The two teams that you have would be MSK and NXT, who are amazing, by the way, if you've never seen them, and the Usos, of course, or the Street Profits, if they decide to switch those titles eventually. And then you'd have Io Shirai, and God, their names completely escaped me. Io Shirai and her tag partner down in NXT, then RK-Bro, and then Rhea Ripley and Nikki A.S.H. They literally can only focus on one storyline at a time. What a load of bollocks. Speaking of which, Reggie Akira Tozawa, flippy stuff, isn't it? He's going to be flipping around ringside. Zoe Stark, that's the name of Io Shirai's tag partner, came to me.
He's going to jump over some things and escape, and it will be a pointless piece of television.
But a title retention nonetheless. And what we need to do really is, if, go on, you're good for this sort of patter. Who needs to be the next 24/7 champion? For me, it should be the inaugural champion who's never on telly and is just an ambassador. Give it to Titus O'Neil. But I want to hear who you've got to suggest, because this is the floor is yours.
So it's pinfalls anyway, this sort of bell, right? So they're running backstage and they're trying to escape. And then somehow Reggie jumps over a bin, but then gets knocked over by People Power, his scooter. And then Johnny Ace falls on him, and then someone counts the thing, and then Johnny Ace is now our 24/7 champion. And then Tozawa gets up over there, and he stands up, and he sees how much taller Johnny Ace is, and Tozawa just runs away. And then there you go. People Power returns, and then we'll have a new authority figure on the show.
I tell you what, it's hilarious and terrifying having you book these, because I'm hoping you're doing it from a slant of, wouldn't that be a load of bollocks? But also you can hear WWE hearing this. They clearly listen to the podcast and going,
yeah,
God damn it, pal. That's an idea. Write that down. It's just, oh God.
People Power will sell more t-shirts than anything Reggie and Tozawa do combined ever. So.
Right, who faces RK-Bro next? We've got this mad tag team turmoil match. I think it's seven tag teams. You've got the former champs, AJ Styles and Big George, almost. The Viking Raiders, Lucha House Party, Jinder Mahal and Veer, T-Bar and Rush, Mustafa Ali and Mansoor and The New Day. I mean, you can rule out about half those teams straight away. I haven't seen Lucha House Party for about 3 months.
I think the Viking Raiders... either that or New Day. I don't know what's going on with Kofi. He's in the shadow realm at the right moment. If he wasn't in that realm, I would maybe go then playing the safe bet there. But I can see them having a Viking ship fight where they've got shields and stuff around the ring, and then there's like some splashy paddly pools and stuff, and some Viking looking stuff around. There's a meat.
I think that could genuinely, I mean, to be fair, yeah, the Viking Raiders deserve it more than most people on this list. The New Day, I'll never dismiss. Yeah. The former tag champs, obviously, have got a fair argument to make. But didn't the Viking Raiders literally beat Jinder Mahal and Veer last week on Raw?
That's why I'm going with the Viking Raiders. I feel like they're going to have some sort of like food fight brawl somewhere. Maybe the Bin Monster will return.
Oh, yeah, you know what I want the Viking Raiders to come close. I think they're a great show, and I think they could put on a spectacular match with RK-Bro. But hey, why don't we have multiple storylines in the tag division? So have it so the Viking Raiders look like they are going to be crowned the number one contenders, and then T-Bar and Mace interfere or cost them or whatever it may be. Or AJ Styles and Omos. No, actually, you've done that already, haven't you? Yeah, T-Bar and Mace interfere, and then you can just have a big lads twatting each other fight at Extreme Rules on the kickoff show if you're that bothered. And then we're in for a penny, in for a pound. Why not have Mustafa Ali and Mansoor win and have the odd couple versus the odd couple? And yeah, there's patter there to be had with Mansoor chumming up to Mustafa Ali, who's fed up of him. And the same with Riddle and Orton. I really like RK-Bro. What do you make of them?
I mean, it's Randy Keith Orton, isn't it? Like, he's one of the greatest superstars to ever be, one of the greatest in WWE history. And I mean, his accolades speak for themselves. And he's just a chiseled, beautiful human being and got some great tattoos. But with RK-Bro, I like that this is kind of a real story where Randy saw him once and hated him and then eventually just found him funny enough to, yeah, you know what? I like you having you around. And it almost feels quite natural. I don't like the scooter stuff is annoying because, you know, that's like Vince again. Like, hey, pal, that's something different. Because I imagine he, you know what? He might have really bad eyesight as well. So he sees different sort of shapes of things. That's why he likes big men, because he can only see them. Or he sees Riddle on a scooter and like, that's different. What's this? And that's why he goes for them. But whereas he got like these excellent wrestlers like a Ricochet, but because his eyesight's so bad now, he can't make out what they're sort of doing. There's no flashy super sort of like outline to them, so he can't work it out. But yeah, I really like the RK-Bro. It's one of the better things on Raw. It's what I'll watch the highlights for. But yeah, keep the belts on them and have them beat whoever. And I don't even, at first I was looking forward to, like, say if Randy Orton ever does turn on him, make it so, like, say, Matt Riddle go, because he can switch on the seriousness sometimes.
Yeah.
And then have Riddle eventually go over on him and, like, properly tap him out or something.
Yeah. I like that. Like you say, I think you can tell everyone involved is really enjoying it. There's definitely legs in this. I think whoever they face at Extreme Rules, whoever wins this, ain't taking the tag titles off them. So, yeah, why not do something different? Why not do Mansoor and Mustafa Ali and then you can do some bollocks in Saudi Arabia, because that's what we know where they're all heading. We've got Drew McIntyre and Sheamus, a match we've seen a lot, but a match that I always enjoy watching. I'd keep it tight as a result of that. The winner of this, of course, goes on to face Damian Priest for the United States Championship at Extreme Rules. Is it, I mean, who do you think's going to win? And if it's Drew McIntyre, is it time for him to maybe start turning heel a bit more?
Yeah, because he sort of played out as this like white meat babyface. But then I've caught some ads on YouTube for the Slambulance. Have you heard of this?
What's this?
A Slambulance. So it's an ambulance, but with the word slam, so it's Slambulance. And there's this new toy that they're advertising viciously on YouTube.
I wish they would have been toy first when it comes to storylines.
Yeah, and so it's just Drew McIntyre. He's like he's the face of this ad, like, oh, the WWE Slambulance. I feel like he's too involved in advertising the toys now, so I think he's going to get even more washed out by all this boring babyface, never going to sort of like have a chink in their armor sort of thing. So he's got to sell many Slambulances first before this can happen. Maybe in 4 years, Vince might try and change him heel. But to answer your question, it's a tough one. I feel like maybe... What's the match they're going to have at Extreme Rules? Is it just going to be I could see it just being a singles match and then Sheamus interfering and ruining that match anyway. I could see McIntyre winning and then Sheamus ruining the match at Extreme Rules.
I think they may well be positioning someone quite quickly to take that US title off Damian Priest, because they've suddenly realized, oh, he's one of the few NXT success stories. Put him in the world title picture. But yeah, I believe McIntyre wins, and maybe that starts to inform. Maybe through slight shenanigans, slight cutting of corners, and then you lead into him maybe eventually turning heel. I mean, if you're going to do it Extreme Rules, where you're actually allowed to use weapons and things like that. But I mentioned Bobby Lashley there. What's going on with him? Because I realise they're just sort of keeping him busy until we can do Goldberg again at Saudi Arabia. But there is a pay-per-view coming up. Is it not in their interests? Because... you know, I've realised that they buried him 6 feet under. But you've got 3 weeks. You've got a world champion. We all know he's going to retain. So why not just hoy him in there against, I know he's heel, but Cedric Alexander or Ricochet, or I'm just scrolling through the Raw roster right now, trying to spot people who I can actually, Humberto Carrillo, you know, John Morrison, that actually could work. John Morrison, Bish Bash Bosh, he's in the title picture. And let's just have a brief challenge for the title, and maybe The Miz returns to cost him at Extreme Rules, for example. I know it wasn't there last week. I'm not going to speculate as to why. But what's happening with Bobby Lashley, and what should be?
I think Vince has sort of forgotten about him already. I think he knows the Saudi coins are he's going to cash in that Saudi money, but it won't, like, we've already had Goldberg basically say, I don't care about the title. It's not about the title. It's personal. I am scared that they might even take the belt off him before that somehow throw it to someone. Like, I don't know, Hillbilly Jim returns and somehow he wins the belt. You know what I mean? Like, they've made it pretty clear that Goldberg doesn't care about the belt. But then are they going to just, like, I can't think of anyone on Raw sort of thing to win the title from him.
Xavier Woods, put it on fucking Xavier Woods, please.
It's good. I mean, that'd be brilliant. But it feels like that title runs fizzling out because Vince is only focused on that one paycheck.
That's the thing is, it's not Lashley's fault, is it? Because, like, he's been...
It was brilliant. And then he turned serious and then he got boring. Then I'm going to be serious now and then nothing.
Yeah. And it's like, on SmackDown, you've got Finn Balor, the Demon, and Brock Lesnar waiting in the wings. And here, they're just like, here's WWE champion. Sorry about murdering Goldberg's son, T in Saudi Arabia, in a non-title match. So why not do anything with him? Like I say, have Xavier Woods win, it's a fluke win something, and be like, you know what? You know, I took you a fair distance before in a cell, I seem to remember, randomly.
Yeah.
Raw is crying out for the draft, which I think is next month, but that can't come soon enough, just to freshen things up for someone like a Bobby Lashley, isn't it?
Yeah, it's so sad, man, because, like, I mean, it's not sad, because Bobby Lashley, I mean, even if you win the WWE Championship in this day and age, I would still say, like, that is up there, like, that's a major life goal, and it's And before him, there was only Kofi was the only other like black champion. To blunt words there, maybe because if we had Damian Priest lose this belt, his United States title before that, you could do a bit of mix around there. But it's just I cannot think of anyone unless they re-sign Braun Strowman and he's at Extreme Rules sort of thing. Because I feel like if there's any response, Vince is like, where's the big man to knock the ambulance over so he can sell more slambulances?
Exactly. Yeah, that's the thing they're going to be scrambling for in the wake of one of the best pay-per-views in history. I love it.
Yeah.
Right, well, let us know your thoughts ahead of Monday Night Raw tonight on Twitter at WhatCultureWWE. Well, actually, you can follow both of us. You can follow Ben Roy at...
at Slambulance. No, at Ben Roy Turner.
You can follow me at Adam Wilbur. Follow us all at WhatCultureWWE. As I said, make sure you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling, wherever you get your podcasts from. The Daily Wrestling Podcast, me and Ben Roy reviewing All Out, is available to download as a podcast right now. And if you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling, our Raw review featuring, of course, the five-star review where we review something short, crap, and wrestling related, which you can still suggest by subscribing to What Culture Wrestling and leaving a five-star review on iTunes. That'll be all there in your feed tomorrow if you subscribe. But for now, this has been the Raw preview. My thanks to Ben Roy. Thank you for joining us. And we
thank you, everyone.
See you soon.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.